Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Optimism Show. Today we have Lazar Buchan from Wasiona Gaming Studio. Lazar, welcome.
Thank you for having me, man. It's an honor to be on your podcast, not even if you're one of my good friends, but it's an honor to be here too, man.
It's a pleasure having you here today as well. And I'm really looking forward to our conversation, especially like I know we're going to talk more or less around the community aspect and community building aspect of things. And you are the best expert that I know on that topic. To kick things off, though, like when it comes to a community aspect, especially as you're right now, you're creating an amazing game with like Ascend the End, and you're working with Wasiona Gaming Studio and also collaborating with different projects on the community aspect. My question is like, what can other projects, especially in the wide blockchain space, learn about community building from a gaming studio? And what is it something, because gaming studios seem to do an absolutely amazing job when it comes to maintaining and building a community?
I mean, I think the best way for communities to be built, I mean, first off, Web3 marketing is basically community building. It's not ads, it's just community building and building genuine relationship with your early adopters, early members, early players, so on and so on. The most like effective way I saw to gain your community, I mean, it's not that hard to gain new members. It's harder to maintain the current users. I saw that is like your first, let's say, from 50 to 100 users, players are your like foundation. That's basically your community foundations. And what I've learned from my experience as a community manager, community lead in the Web3 space is that your OGs are the lifeblood of your project. They are the early believers, the ones who stick around during the ups and downs, and the most importantly, they're the ones who make your vision their own. I mean, simple as that. So if you have your OG community, it's not easy to make it. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes effort. It takes consistency, strategy. But if you do it right, and if you create a group that's not only loyal, but also bullish about your vision, trust me, once they're on board, they'll drive your project forward with the same passion as you have. I mean, it's simple as that. So just consistency, a text a day, a DM a day can go a long way, trust me.
Yeah, and I know like you're probably like your DMs are flooded with DMs every
100 plus DMs every day, man. 100 plus
exactly, DMs. Exactly, all the DMs over there. But when it comes to the like really the OGs, and I know it can be really hard to find those 50 to 100 OGs to actually give them the vision, have them develop the vision afterward, especially in the bull market right now where there's more distractions than ever for people, so it's harder to keep the attention of people. My question over there is like, especially as you said, like it's hard to maintain the community active. What have you found for yourself, for the communities that you help, to be the most effective ways to, on one side, incentivize these OGs, and on the other side, to also keep the community active? Because we only have so many hours in the day, so without overworking yourself, like how do you even keep the community active?
So I've seen like most, like because I also work with a DeFi project, also helping them build a community. I see a lot of new projects like make those mistakes in handing out those OG roles too easily with nothing for the members to prove why they're OGs, if they're engaging, if they're active, if they're helping other new members when joining in, if they help them with some issues and so on and so on. I mean, if anyone can get that role, the role loses its meaning. I mean, when I first started building my community, I know the OG role had to be something special. Only those who were truly active, contributing daily and showing up for the community earned that title. I'll never forget like the day we first introduced the OG role in our Discord. We didn't even announce it. We just quietly started assigning it to those who were making a real impact. And suddenly everyone else wanted to know how they could get it. I mean, the exclusivity lit the fire like under the community. And a lot of people wanted to know how can they get that role and be one of those OGs in the community. I mean, and also when the OGs earned their role, I mean, they wear like a badge of honor. I mean, to them, it's something special. It's truly something special to be something, let's say, part of the team, part of the family in helping, engaging with other members. And when other members see those OGs engaging there, they wanted to start engaging also. So the energy is contagious. And I love saying that energy is contagious. And when a lot of people see other people being active, helping others, they also wanted to start doing that for them also. So yeah, I mean, also you need to reward those OGs with exclusive perks so they feel valued. So it's not just like you have an OG role and that's it. You need to, for instance, let's say you need to create an OG-only private chat where only the people who have that role can be in that chat. Yeah. And that was basically the foundation solid of my OG community. I created the OG chat, first off, for the Wasiona Gaming Studio, the Ascend the End game that we're doing. And when I started that to work there, I moved that same tactic strategy to the DeFi platform I'm also doing for lending and borrowing that's called Swayland. And when I added that also into DeFi, I saw it the same thing that I saw with the game Ascend the End. It's exactly the same thing. People feel valued when they see that they're a part of a private chat where only like 20, 30 members are only have access to that chat. I mean,
and one question over there. So when you actually built that chat with people and with the OGs, especially like the private chat, do you only incentivize them with perks or do you also incentivize them monetarily after some time? Like how does that work and what is your philosophy on that?
So I saw you have to show up daily, every day, no matter if it's a weekend or not. I mean, you have to show up every day so they see your name every day. And when they see your name, they trust me, they're going to trust you. They're going to ask you something. They're going to talk with you. But for the OG chat, let's say I do exclusive reveals. Like one of the best ways I found to keep the OGs excited is by giving them early access to reveals, whatever. It's a sneak peek of a new feature or upcoming events or project developments or let's say partnerships with other projects. These early reveals make them feel like they're in on something big before the rest of the community knows. I mean, a simple heads up to the OGs in the private chat, like we're going to announce this partnership tomorrow or the day after, like simple as that, that's going to make them active and be engaged in that chat. But you need to be careful when you have that OG chat private. You can forget about the general chat, like the public chat. You have to be engaged also in there while you're engaging with the OGs. So you need to make a structure on what to tell the OGs and what to tell the rest of the community members in the public chats. So, I mean, I also give like daily regular like reports and updates. Like I didn't realize the importance of until later in my journey, like the OGs love transparency and transparency can go a long way. And when they feel like they're kept in the loop, they trust you more and they start sending I started sending out short exclusive reports to our OGs, like updates on marketing campaigns, development progress, like or upcoming partnerships, like I said. And I can tell you how much this strengthened the bond with our OGs. I mean, using a tool like Notion to keep the things organized is a game changer. The more they know about what's going behind the scenes, the more bullish they become on the long-term vision. And I mean, one thing also that helped me a lot was the regular AMA sessions with OGs, like exclusively OG AMA sessions. And you need to get your founder or your community lead involved with that. you cannot do it alone. If they see a founder in the AMA being transparent and talking with them, your project can really go a long way. I mean, the founder needs to be, the founder, like, to me, needs to be interacted with the community daily. If it's a GM message, it's a GM message, but he needs to be there. He needs, the community needs to see him there in order to believe in the project. They need to see a transparent team who's behind the curtains and who's doing all this stuff. I mean, I'm also like that. When I started, like, in 2017, 2018, playing those Web3 games, I was like, who's the developer here? Who's the community lead? Who's the founder? What did the guy do before this? Like, I wanted to know all of those stuff. So transparency is really important if you wanted to build a truly, like, genuine community, not a paid marketing community, but genuinely a true engaging community that's gonna help you. If there's some FUD in the chat, I mean, trust me, you're gonna get FUDed in your servers by some random people who are gonna say some horrible stuff. But if you have, like, those 20 truly truly OG members, the FUD is just gonna disappear. So trust me, you just need to make that foundation of your top 20, 30 OGs, and from there you can start building easily every day. It really is like that.
Yeah, so it sounds like an excellent approach when you think about it. You're not only building it yourself, but you're building it really with the community. In the end, you're building in public. But one question over there is practically, so there's all of these massive communities that we see all around Web3, including some of the chains, if you look at it from that perspective, that are completely dead. If you see it, like, there's 200,000 members, 10 messages in one of the channels, you can barely get to the community manager, and it's a $1 billion company. So from your perspective, like, first of all, what is your take on that? And second of all, how would you approach reactivating a community that was already built? Or would you just suggest, let's start it from scratch?
Like you said, I saw a lot of projects who have, like, I don't know, 200K followers, 300K followers on Twitter, but have, like, I don't know, like 15 likes, maybe 2 reposts, and that's it. And I was like, okay, these projects are able to get enormous funding from I don't know who and get that amount of money, but they don't have a community. Like you said, their Discord is dead. They have, like, maybe 2-3 messages daily. Twitter is dead. I mean, I saw that firsthand. I was like, okay, our game is currently now in the funding phase, and we're actively searching for funding. But when I see other games who are, let's say, I don't know how to call them, indie games, like small games that are not even like that much to play. I mean, it's nothing, and they have 300 followers on Twitter, they have this and this venture backing them, and so on, but this Discord is dead. They just, I can see still, like, what's happening on that side. Like, is it some, I don't know, rug pull? Is it a scam? I mean, it's still ongoing. It still needs to be discovered what's happening with those projects who have 300K followers but have, like, 20 likes. I mean, I saw our Twitter profile is like 20K followers, and we have like 30, 40 likes a day, 20 to 30 reposts a day. And when I see that our engagement is that big with just 20K followers, and I go to other projects who have 200, 300, and I see that they don't have engagement, I'm like, what? Why are the investors still going to those projects who don't have the community, don't have the engagement, don't have anything except, like, big following? I mean, and that's it. That's paid followers. And I hate that. All of the marketing I did, it's zero cost at me. $0, zero. Everything was built organically. Talking with the new members, talking with guilds, talking with our community, Web3 communities. Like I said, DMing people goes a long way. Talking with people in your space, in your niche, in the Web3, like for me, it was gaming. Talking with, I mean, I talked with some people I didn't even like knew that they're going to help me like in 2 months. I was like, okay, let's stay in contact with them. They're maybe good. And like after 2 months, they just sent me a message like, hey, I have this guy wanted to talk with you about investments, wanted to talk about a partnership to do with you guys. And so, I mean, you have to stay connected daily. Daily, you need to talk with people and consistently just pinging them or asking them how their day went. I mean, you need to be genuine. You need to be consistent, and that's going to make you a good community manager, community lead, business development manager, whatever. To me, those are the same things. I mean, you have to do everything from the community to marketing to strategies to campaigns and so on and so on. You just have to be genuinely and consistently every day, and that's what's gonna make your community stand out from the rest of the Web3 communities.
Yeah, it makes you stand out, and as you said, like a lot of these projects are super funded, and a lot of the projects are still going on even if they're not rug pulls, but their community is just it's non-existent.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that project.
And when you but how would you approach even like a community like that to actually start and try somehow to reactivate it, or you think like it's not even worth it
you don't need to start from scratch. If you see that Discord that's not active has about, I don't know, maybe 5,000-6,000 members. If you start being active in that chat daily, maybe a couple of thousand are gonna leave the Discord server or are gonna stay. Maybe a couple of them are gonna start typing, and so on and so on. I mean, you don't need to start from scratch. I mean, for our Ascendian game, I didn't start from scratch. They already had a community that was non-active. Nobody typed in Discord server, and when I started coming, I have maybe for the first maybe month or two, I only had like 3 guys active. Me, our mod who's helping me also, and 2 guys who didn't even play the game, but they just loved the graphics. I mean, 3 of us in the server daily. And we did a couple of campaigns with, I don't know, with Linnea, with other gaming projects, shooter gaming projects. And we, from every like community, we got maybe, let's say, 2 or 3 new members. To me, that's enough. If every partnership gives me at least 2 or 3 new members who are going to be active and engaging on Twitter, engaging on Discord, to me, that's enough. That's a job well done for zero paid marketing with $0, just a simple startup strategy to just start bootstrapping your project and building the community that's going to boost your project after.
Yeah, but no, that's an excellent point, actually. And as you get like this organically, let's say, like you get more members, like this bootstrap way, like most of the time, like those members that enter in that way, they're genuinely interested in what you're doing. So it's not just, okay, we're going to run paid ads and just get as many people as possible just so we can raise as much money as possible and then just leave it.
I mean, I don't know. I hate paid ads in Web3, but a lot of projects are doing that with KOLs, with influencers. Like, let's have a big influencer. Let's give him, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000, and he makes me a live stream for 2 hours, makes me maybe 2 or 3 Twitter posts and a video, and that's it for 3,000. I mean, okay, maybe from those 3,000, you can get 20, 30 real members who are really going to love your game. I mean, I can't say that you're not going to get anything, but you're going to probably get maybe also 10 to 20 members who are going to enjoy your project, game, whatever. And yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't do a single paid marketing, maybe at most like $100 game nights where we gather like communities from other guilds and just do a game night where we have a tournament that's going to last like 2 hours. And in those 2 hours, who's the best Tauno player in that time gets 100 USDT. And that's the most I ever did. If you can call that paid marketing, I call that tournaments. So, okay, it's maybe not paid marketing. Yeah. But when you post that you have a prize pool of that and that, people are going to get really interested. And you have to host those game nights. If you're a gaming project, you need to host them weekly, monthly, that's maybe the best way to bring more players is to do those game nights with other projects, with other guilds, with other communities, and just have a prize pool. It doesn't need to be that much, like large. It can be around $50, $100, and trust me, you're gonna get a lot of new players on board when they see that.
And let's say if you're like, because you're also working with the DeFi project, if you have like a project on the DeFi side or something that is non-gaming, how would that translate to a project like that? Like, what would you do in that case?
So I did a strategy, like a new strategy. I did not see anyone do that before. Like, I made partnerships with NFT collections, like the first new NFT collections on our network that's called Fuel Network. It's a layer 2 on Ethereum. Our like lending and borrowing platform is on that network, and I saw 3-4 new NFT collections launching on our network. Those are the first like NFT collections launching on a network. I reached out to them like, can we get a whitelist spots for our community and so on? Let's do a partnership and get I don't know how many whitelist spots to our community. And when I did like I don't know, I did maybe 3 partnership posts with those NFT collections, and those NFT collections are not that big. They're like maybe 5K followers on Twitter, 10K followers on Twitter, but they are part of our ecosystem. So I need to make somehow a partnership with them because they're part of the Fuel ecosystem. And when I did that, the engagement went through the roof. I didn't know DeFi and NFTs can do that much damage in the community. I mean, I saw engagement that I never saw. I mean, my CEO called me and it was like, what did you do with this engagement? What happened? And I was like, yes, people love NFTs and DeFi. I mean, it's crazy. I did maybe 3 partnerships with NFT collections and I got, let's say, I don't know, maybe 30K impressions on Twitter. I mean, that's enormous. I mean, we don't have a big Twitter also. We have maybe 6K followers. But still, we had 1K likes, I know, 500 reposts. I mean, you just need to make those strategic like posts for the partnership ones, for the NFTs. You need to make those action steps for the users, for the Twitter audience, like, I don't know, follow us and follow that collection to be a part of the whitelist. I did like steps on how to be able to win those whitelist spots with our partnerships. Like follow us, follow them, tag 3 friends, like repost this tweet. And when people start tagging their 3 friends, 2 or 3 friends, the Twitter algorithm just starts shoving your posts all over the place, just pa-pa-da-pa-pa-da-pa-pa-da-pa-da. And impressions just keep coming in and coming in and coming in. Like for in 24 hours with that partnership giveaway whitelist post, we had, I don't know, maybe 800 likes, 11,000 views. I was like, what happened with the engagement just because of a simple NFT partnership with the DeFi project? I mean, it's crazy, but if you try something new, you can't get hurt, right? You can just see what happens and get feedback and maybe improve later. But I saw that this worked and this grow the community. I mean, we gained in 3 days like 300 followers without paid marketing, without anything, just simple posts about the partnership and whitelist spots, and that's it.
We gained. Well, that's an excellent example of like think out a bit outside the box. You don't have to do the exact things that everyone else is doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's I had a lot of people just like, what the fuck, a DeFi protocol doing partnerships with the NFT collection? I was like, nobody's doing it. Let me be the first one doing it. Let's just let it be. I mean, why it needs to sound that bad? It's an NFT collection, a part of that ecosystem. Why we cannot partner with them? I mean, I don't see the reason why we can't partner with them. That's stupid to me. Why not support the ecosystem? If you're part of some ecosystem as a project, the best way to grow is to build partnerships with the rest of the projects in that ecosystem, community, whatever. You need to make partnerships with those projects. If it's an NFT collection, it's an NFT collection. If it's some different DeFi platform, it's a different. I mean, it doesn't have to be just platform the same as your project. It can be whatever. I mean, I did it with DeFi and NFT collections. I mean, you can do it with whatever you want. I mean, it's, you just need to think outside of the box on how to grow organically. I mean, everybody can do paid marketing. I can get $3,000, $4,000 and just put them in marketing, and I can be a marketing guru. And that's simple as that. I can pay some influencer to do a post on a giveaway and follow us, and you, I can gain like 10K followers in a day just to give out $3,000. I mean, everybody can do that. But if you can do it without paid marketing, trust me, you're going to see that you stand out from the rest of them.
Yeah, but it also makes sense. Like if you do it, at least logically or thinking along those lines, like if you do it organically, most of the people that actually do follow you are more engaged than if you just buy their follow. Of course, you can buy a bunch of follows.
Of course. I mean,
what do you achieve if you just have high numbers? Like, is it... It just depends on the actual focus point that you have at the different stage. Do you just want to show that you're big, or do you actually want to build something?
I mean, you can do paid marketing when you have your like community established, like the OG part and everything. When you go through that, I mean, you can do paid marketing. You can just bring aboard new players, new members, new users, and they're going to see that those OGs that are typing in the chat, okay, this community is active, these members are active, they love the project, why we cannot be a part of that project, and that's going to make them join even more. I mean, you can do pay marketing after. I don't have anything with pay marketing when you establish that foundation of your community, let's say maybe 50 to 200 members that are there, that are actively using your platform or playing your game, whatever. If you have that established, paid marketing can go even a lot better than not still paying for marketing. You just need to make a foundation, and after that you can do paid marketing easily. But for the beginning, you need to establish the concrete of your foundation, like the community wise, and after you can definitely do paid marketing. It's not gonna hurt you.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
I have one last question, actually, because right now you're focusing on the community aspects of things, but you're also doing partnerships and business development and this and that. Now, a lot of companies actually need help with community. Like, what is from your perspective, what is something, or what are the skills and traits that when companies are looking to work with someone or hire someone as a community manager or a community expert, they should look for in order to make the right decision, especially in the current state of how things stand?
If you're looking to hire a community manager lead, you need to see that they're a part of that space, that niche, or it doesn't have to be an issue. It just needs to be that you need to see them a part of that space doing something. I mean, if someone goes to my Twitter profile, LinkedIn, they're going to see that I've been there. I've been on Ethereum conferences. I held workshops. I did conferences. I had this and that. I'm part of some DevRel university and so on and so on. If they see your achievements through there, I mean, LinkedIn is a new CV. You don't even need to have a CV anymore. You can just send your LinkedIn profile and Twitter profile, and that's how Web3 works. I mean, every job I got, it wasn't with sending a CV and waiting for responses. It was basically just word of mouth. Like, one guy tells the other project they know some great community guy who knows how to build a community, who knows how to do business development, and so on, and it just pass me around, and just I go from one project to one project to one project, just helping them gather all the things they need. So if you're looking to hire a community manager, you need to see that they are a part of the space. You cannot hire someone who's, I don't know, in the Web2 space, or he doesn't even need to be a part of, I don't know. It needs to be someone who's really long in this space if you need to be a community manager. I mean, it's not an easy job, but it goes a long way for like Web3 projects. You need to have a community for your project in Web3 to make it. It's simple as that. You cannot have a product or a project without a community behind it. So
that's excellent. Well, Lazar, thank you for these insights. Is there anything else that I should have asked you that maybe I didn't.
No, we cover all the basic steps on beginning how to create the community, and I think that's enough. Maybe after this episode, we can do another on maybe advanced making your community even more engaged. But for now, I think this fundamentals on how to start off with your community is enough for the first episode.
Sounds fantastic. Thank you for all these insights. It was a pleasure having you here.
Thank you for having me, man. Thank you.